Hello and happy Friday. It's Jessica. I'm so glad to be back with you for an Extraordinary Mom of the Month Award episode. It's been too long. I didn't do one in December, and so it feels like an eternity since I've done it. It's been since November. I mean, it was last year. It's 2017 now. But it was so fun reading through all of your nominations because there was such a range this time. There was moms of children with special needs. There were medical issues. There was IVF and infertility journeys. There were moms that were just keeping it real and keeping it positive and being there for one another. That is so incredibly encouraging to me. So if you nominated, I just want to thank you. There was such a positive dialogue also, as one person would nominate and then that person would comment back after they had seen the nomination. I literally had the warm and fuzzies all week long because it was just so special to see moms unsuspectingly going about their days, doing what they do best, being a mom, the thing they do day after day, often without much acknowledgement. And here they are being recognized by somebody out of the blue. How special is that? So I know that sometimes I'll see like, oh, tag a friend in this or nominate somebody for this. And I won't always act upon that. But just seeing how much it can really make somebody's day and bring them up instead of bring them down. I mean, so many times we compare ourselves to each other online and it feels like kind of a place of inadequacy sometimes. But the thing I love about the podcast, the thing that I love about this award is that we are truly building each other up. We're recognizing each other for doing an extraordinary job of being a mom. And we're all in this together. I'm not recognizing the most perfect mom out there every month. I'm recognizing the mom that is doing an amazing job at the job we're all doing, right? And so thank you for nominating. It means so much. And I'm always getting ideas for people that I should have on other episodes as well. So even if your person didn't win this week, I may have them on the shortlist for people that I may want to do a full interview with later. And if you know anybody that you think that I should have on the show and interview on one of our Tuesday episodes, if you'll email me, jessica@extraordinarymomspodcast.com. I love reading your emails. And if you think you have a unique story and a unique journey that you'd like to share your story and the lessons that you've learned, please email me. Don't be shy. At the very least, I'll tell you what an awesome job you're doing. And at the most, you can be on the show. So that's super fun. Also, if you ever leave ratings or reviews, if there's a certain episode that resonates with you, leaving a review on iTunes helps out the show so much. I love hearing from people that say, hey, I just found your podcast and I'm so glad that I did. It's making a difference. That is because iTunes recognizes when people are listening by the numbers that are downloading it and then also by the number of reviews. So if you leave a review, it means so much and it's a great way to support the podcast. So thanks a lot. Well, I've kept you waiting long enough, right? The Extraordinary Mom of the Month winner this month is somebody that doesn't even have a baby in her arms yet, but she has long had a mother's heart as she and her husband have longed for a baby of their own, and they have suffered through the infertility journey that I know many of you have been through as well. And I want to honor that journey. And we do have good news that she is pregnant and expecting her first child very, very soon. And we're going to talk about that in the interview. But I just wanted to recognize all the moms out there that so desperately want a baby in their family, whether it's their first or their fifth. It is so hard to want to add to your family and struggle to do so. I know that uphill battle, and I know the ups and downs of the emotions involved with that, and it's just, my heart breaks for you. It literally does. And so I wanted to recognize Carly today because she was nominated for her positive attitude throughout this really challenging journey. And yes, she had a positive outcome in the end, but she never lost that hope and that faith that she could do hard things. And so we're going to talk to Carly today, and I'm so excited to award her with their Extraordinary Mom of the Month Award. Let's get to it with Carly. All right, I want to welcome Carly Hoekstra. Hi, Carly.
Hi.
How's it going?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm so good. Well, congratulations. You are Extraordinary Mom of the Month Award winner.
Thank you. It's pretty wild, like, I'm not even a mom yet. That's pretty awesome.
Well, I think one of the reasons that I chose you, Carly, is that regardless of whether you have a baby in your arms or a longing to be a mom, it starts from that time where you decide that you're willing to put yourself aside and sacrifice so much for the well-being of a child. And what your friend Stephanie said about you really exemplified that to me, and that's why I picked you. So I just want to read what Stephanie wrote real quick, and then we'll get chatting about your journey. So Stephanie says, I nominated my girl, Kay Hoekstra, Carly, because she's seriously the sunshine of my life. She's pregnant with their miracle baby due April 17th, and she walked through many years of infertility struggles. I've never met someone who faced so much disappointment month after month while keeping such an amazing outlook. She has also had a really cool story about her husband setting up a surprise Christmas GoFundMe so they could do their second round of IVF. It makes me cry just thinking about it. She's already an amazing friend, aunt, and overall person, and is going to be the coolest, best mom ever. Oh, is that the sweetest?
Yeah, it makes me, like, teary just hearing it.
I know. Well, Carly, tell me about your motherhood journey.
Okay, sorry, I'm like...
It's okay.
Hormonal and hearing sweet things. So basically, about 5 years ago, my husband and I, we were pretty young and had been married for like 2 or 3 years, and we just decided, hey, like, maybe we should, you know, start thinking about having kids. And so we thought it would take a little bit, but we got pregnant right away and kind of just jumped into that whole journey. And then about 12 weeks in, miscarried, and just kind of went through that experience of like excitement and then loss and just trying to figure out, you know, what happened or, you know, what's going on. And didn't really think that moving forward we would have any struggles since we got pregnant pretty automatically. And then basically once that happened, that was in beginning of 2012, it was just nothing. Like, we just tried and tried on our own, and seeming like just nothing was happening. Mm-hmm. And so a couple years after that, we were living in Oklahoma at the time, and we are both from California, so we moved back home, and we decided, okay, well, it's been a while, so maybe we should go seek answers or help. And so we started the process of doing fertility treatments with amazing doctors in the Sacramento area, and we started out doing IUI, and none of those worked. And then at the time, my husband worked for this company that had this insane insurance, and so we were like, well, we might as well do IVF because we're never going to be able to fully afford it, but right now is the most affordable it will ever be.
Wow.
And so yeah, so we had great coverage, but we still ended up spending a ton of money, and did an IVF, and I had a weird reaction to some of the drugs that you take. And so the amount of eggs that we had were really low, especially for my age and where we were at. They were shocked. And so we only had a couple to work with, but we just decided, you know what, we'll just take a leap of faith and we'll just try it. And so that didn't work, which it's just that whole process is like so, you know, so many drugs and appointments and just a lot of build up to what you think is going to be this like successful miracle, and then, you know, it doesn't always work as often as you think it does. And so that didn't work, and that's when we were doing that, that's when Stephanie and I became good friends at work. And and so when that didn't work, we just thought, oh well, I guess, you know, I guess it's just not in the cards. And so then a year or two went by and still nothing, and on our own. And we kind of just decided, you know, it didn't work this time, that first time. So in my mind, I just thought, okay, this is just not going to happen. And then last Christmas, my husband kind of went out totally out of character and with some, like, prodding from friends, and just thought, maybe I'll set up a GoFundMe and we can try IVF one more time with different drugs and see what happens. And he's not really a social media guy, and he wanted it at all, and he wanted it to be a surprise. So he literally just sent it to, you know, groups of friends at church and family and some of our other close friends, and it just kind of kept getting forwarded on. And within 3 days, it was fully funded and a total surprise.
Wow.
We have it, like, he brought up this really sweet letter, and then on Christmas morning, when we were opening presents, he recorded me opening this. He put it all in a binder, and with everyone's names and all the messages they wrote, and I opened it and just basically cried all day.
Oh, my gosh, Carly.
Yeah, it was wild. So then we did IVF again, and from the GoFundMe to when we actually finished all the drugs and the process, we transferred to embryo in June of last year, and then in July we found out that it didn't work, and I just thought for sure it was gonna, I was so convinced it was gonna happen, just because we had hundreds of people knowing what we were going through and like sending well wishes and prayers and all of that stuff, and I just was like convinced it was gonna work, and then it didn't. And so when that happened, I just thought, okay, Carly, now it's time to really move on, you know. And so I think for the first time without knowing it, I really did move forward. And, like, there was always the hope, and I just kind of poured myself into my family and my friends and my nieces and my nephew, and just was like, okay, I'll just be a really cool aunt, and Curtis and I can travel and do whatever. And then literally the next month, I found out I was pregnant, and it was just the craziest shock.
Oh, and that was not related to the IVF at all.
Not at all. Not
wow.
Even, yeah, and that's, it was so close. It was
wow.
So close together that everyone was like, wait, what? You know, they just figured that we just turned around and...
Right.
Because we still have one little sweet embryo frozen, and... So I think people just thought, oh, they just turned around and did it again. But it was just total, I just was not expecting it. And
wow.
Curtis had to, like, make me take a pregnancy test when I thought, you know, I was like, oh, something should have happened by now, you know.
Yeah.
But I just chalked it up to my body being
messed
off.
Up, yeah.
yeah, he, like, forced, he was like, no, do it. And I was like, no, it's, you know, at this point I was like, this is a joke. I'm not...
Right.
I'm not going to take one. And so I did, and I still can't believe, like, I see myself in a mirror, and I'm like, who is that person?
Right. And now you're due in April.
Yeah, now we're due in April, so, like, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, just barely, wow. It was crazy this Christmas to, like, you know, my parents and siblings giving me, like, little baby things, and last Christmas was the excitement and of the GoFundMe, and it was just like I couldn't have pictured a more different but exciting day.
Right, and I just think this outcome is what you've always wanted, but this path is
right.
What you never would have asked for, you know? And so ultimately, you did get the outcome that you wanted, but it just looks a whole lot different. I mean, you poured so much time and money and effort and hormones and sickness into IVF, but then to get pregnant naturally, it just goes to show, like, you really cannot control the circumstances of life.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, and, I'm 5 years older than I was the first time I was pregnant, and I was thinking about it the other day, like, I'm going to be 30 next week, and I just thought, you know, I'm really thankful. Because this is my experience, I'm so thankful that I just had the time to, like, this is really, truly my heart's desire, and it's been confirmed over all these years, and now I'm in this position where I have so many amazing friends who are moms, and my sister-in-law is an amazing mom, and I've learned so much from her, and I just feel like I'm such a better person than I was before this all happened. I feel like... maybe more positive in a weird way. I mean, there were definitely peaks and valleys. There were times early on in this process when I was negative and I kind of wallowed a little. And in the last 2.5 years or so, it's just kind of been this shift of focusing on how grateful I am for the things that I do have, and just trying to like turn it on its head. And I just realized like I need to fake it for a while, you know, and then eventually it became genuine. And I just feel I'm like more compassionate towards others. I'm more empathetic. And so I would never thought I would say that I'm like really thankful for all the lows, because it's changed me for sure.
Wow. Well, basically you just answered every question I was going to ask. How has it changed you?
Stephanie will attest to this. I'm like the chattiest.
I love that
person. So I.
Well, what I love about what you just said is that the positivity and the change came before the outcome that you wanted, right? And so, like 2.5 years ago, before you even had that positive pregnancy test, before the optimistic GoFundMe, before the, you were able to make a mental shift. What would you tell somebody who's going through something, whether it's infertility? We have a lot of people that listen that are going through infertility journeys or just in a time of waiting. What would you tell them right in the midst of it?
I always, deep down, I always just had a hope that that I would be a mom, or because that was, you know, my particular desire. And I think part of my journey was just kind of coming to terms with the fact that it might not be in the most traditional way.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I would just say, if I was like talking to my old self, just like to not let the disappointments and the lows sort of outshine the hope of what's to come, just because It seems like in a lot of these situations, when you look back on the hardships that you've had, the outcome is totally not what you expected, but better than what you expected. And so I guess, I don't even know if I'm answering this very well.
No, you totally are. Yeah, no.
But just to like, maybe not be so focused in on the exact outcome. I mean, maybe, you know, the exact way that you want something to come,
like the exact picture.
I guess the overall thing is just always like just try to hold on to that hope, because it really is powerful just to have that positive outlook towards, you know, the future. And I think sometimes when I was so narrow focused on what I wanted, that I kind of missed all of the stuff that was going on right then and there. And I look back and I'm like, wow, you know, I had these people placed in my life, and, you know, I was in this position, or I got to do this, or I met this person that I wouldn't have otherwise met, or all those types of things. Be thankful. Just be, you know, thankful for the little things.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, I think, it just sort of blankets everything else. Like, if you're really thankful for the little things that you have, I think it makes everything else better, I guess.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I don't know.
And I think it's having hope that everything will be okay, not having hope that it will go the way you want it to, but it's really, truly believing it's going to be okay. Like, as long as you choose to get up and do good in the world tomorrow, it will be okay. It might not look the way that you wished, but it could, like you said, it could be better.
Yeah, and I think one of the things too that I tried to do and didn't always succeed was to try to focus on less on myself, and like what you said, like go out there and like be kind to other people and serve other people, and just kind of stepping outside of your own, whatever swirling around in your brain, and just kind of stepping outside of that. And
I'm sure there was a lot of days. Yeah, and I'm sure there was a lot of days where you weren't feeling that. And like you said, you kind of had to fake it at first.
Yeah, I like totally faked it for a really long time. And I think on the outside, I've always been like a bubbly, chatty, Kathy kind of gal. And then my husband was like, how he, he would say, like, how could you be positive about most things in your life, but you're not positive about this one thing that, you know, that you want the most? Like, you're not positive about this thing, but you're, you know, positive about other things. And so I think it's just like that shift of like, okay, I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna be kind and I'm gonna be happy and I'm gonna grin and bear it even if I am not feeling it. And eventually it really truly did become my first reaction. And like, instead of like being negative like I was before, or, you know, every little, because there's always those little things that are going to remind you all the time of like, oh, that's something that you don't have, you know.
Right. Or somebody else is like pregnant.
Like every song I heard, I'm like, this is about me, you know, and it was totally not about me. But I think it was just you kind of fake it till you feel it kind of thing. And obviously not all the time did it work, but it really helped me. It helped me cope with the disappointments that were ahead of me still. And I'm glad that I sort of made like a shift. And I think it was too, you know, my brother married my best friend, which was amazing. Ooh, and
that's
lucky. it was like junior high level dream come true. Like, they started dating, they got married. I couldn't believe it. And so like now, you know, they have two beautiful girls, and I got to be, you know, I was like, if I was just kind of had this negative vibe and couldn't be happy for my very best friend who had my nieces with, you know, I kind of just made a decision like, I'm going to pour myself into these sweet girls because, you know, it's really going to help me, and it'll just be positive for our relationship in the future. Like, I want my nieces to, like, I want to be an aunt that they turn to. And if I was this negative person that didn't want to spend time with them and really invest in them, then I don't think that I would have that. And so that really helped too, like having these sweet girls live near me. And yeah, I think that helped a lot too.
That's amazing. And I think there's definitely a difference between faking it in a way that you're like surface level faking it, and then you go home and bawl your eyes out and it's not your true feelings.
Right.
And then there's faking it because your intent and your desire is to change for the better. And so I think that is the healthy kind of faking it versus just the comparison, like, I want to be just like that person, or I should be happy, or I should be smiling all the time.
Yeah.
But you realize you are, like, you're so wise for a 29-year-old. Are you kidding me?
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, you caught me on maybe a better day.
Well, the hormones are working for you. But, you know, I totally agree with you. And I felt, we just moved to a new area, and it's been really hard adjusting. It's a great place to live, but, like, change is hard, and new things are hard, and there's a lot of hard things in life. Faking happiness is not productive for anybody, but willing yourself to, like, develop a new habit of responding with joy, or responding with genuine, you know, kindness, you can retrain yourself. You've been through hard, hard stuff, Carly. So it's natural that you wouldn't just have somebody announce their pregnancy and you'd be over the moon for them. But being able to kind of transform your mindset is a powerful thing. And I think that can be true in any of us, in the way that our inner monologue is. And we can always train ourselves to be truly happy, genuinely. But sometimes it does take a little faking to begin with.
Totally. And that's totally, like, you nailed it with the retraining as far as, like, that kind of faking. Like, it really is. It was like it's a very conscious decision to say, okay, no matter what happens, like, I'm gonna react in this way.
And I think that's
what helped me the most was that retraining of, okay, you know, I know that this is, like, difficult, but, you know, let's look at this, and this, and this is what's this is what's going great for me, and this is, you know, I have an awesome husband, and, you know, we've been married for almost 8 years, almost 9, 8 years? Shoot, I need to, like, do some math. But, you know, like, we've had this, like, awesome time together, truly, like, getting to know one another. We got married really young, and so we've had this time that I'll cherish, you know, yeah. just being him and I. And so I just had to, like, remind myself of those things, and it's just that retraining that you were saying.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah. What are you most looking forward to when you have that baby in your arms?
I mean, on, like, a really surface level, I'm really excited to dress him.
Yeah.
I'm, like, excited to, like, pick out, like, little, you know, like, how is... You buy things that you know someone else will like, and so I'm excited to, like, dress him. But I mean, on a deeper level, I think I'm just I've always, you know, heard my friends and read, like, sweet moms bloggers and, like, moms on Instagram that I follow, and just that indescribable feeling of what it feels like to be a mom, or that love that you feel, that connection that is, like, indescribable, I guess.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm most looking forward to, is kind of knowing what that feels like, or yeah. just knowing what it feels like to carry, you know, a baby for 9 months and then see them and just have that, like, lifelong bond with a person. I think yeah. that's what I'm most looking forward to. And I think, too, it's been fun for me to be a part of some of the conversations that I just kind of tried to relate to before, or mm-hmm. just kind of was just a bystander for.
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm excited to, like, be a part of that,
yeah.
I guess, club,
yeah.
you could call it. But just yeah. that, the things that you can't describe that, like, my sister and friends have tried to before, you just that indescribable connection that you feel, I think that's what I'm most looking forward to.
That's awesome. Carly, you make me additionally grateful to be a mom myself. Like, you remind me
Aww.
Of how awesome it truly is, and, like, what a gift it really is. And seeing you fight for this for so long and to want it so hard and to be truly grateful for where you are right now and look forward to it with such anticipation and joy, like, it reminds me that I have that, and I should be really feeling that too every day. So it's a great reminder. Thanks for sharing.
That's
that.
That's really sweet.
Well, I always ask my guests one final question, and it's something we've kind of already covered, but the question is, what would you tell your pre-motherhood self? And so for you, it's more this pre-infertility journey, pre-getting uh-huh. pregnant. What would you tell that self?
I think we sort of talked about it. Mm-hmm. I think what I would just say is, Carly, you're gonna be fine. Yeah. You're gonna be okay. Just even if, I mean, I guess now is, like, really easy for me to say, oh, you know, past Carly, like, chill, you're gonna be fine. But I think, just on a broader scale, I think if I could just tell myself that 5 years ago, like, hey, I know this is what you really, really want, and this is painful, but you are going to be okay at the end of this process, and don't let the disappointment of what you've experienced overshadow your daily life and the experiences that you are lucky enough to have and blessed enough to have. I think that would be what I would tell myself, is just don't let it break you, because you're going to be okay.
Yeah. Carly, I just feel like we're best friends now.
I know. And I can just talk to you all day.
I wish we could. And I would I would love to have you back after the baby comes and you live
awesome.
A little life with a baby in your arms.
Seriously,
and I would
love
to hear about it.
To learn. I know.
And you're going to
be
awesome.
I love that.
You know what? In motherhood, attitude has so much to do with it. Like, you're never going to know it all. You're going to mess it up 100 times. Or you're going to think you're messing it up 100 times. You're not truly messing anything up, most likely. You know, most moms are doing just fine. But as long as you have love in your heart for your child, like, lead with love. And if you do that, you're going to be the best mom ever. And Stephanie thinks you're an extraordinary mom already, and I do too. So thanks for sharing your journey.
So sweet.
I know it's going to really help other people.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. Well, good luck with these next few months. Enjoy it and eat some McFlurries and enjoy those late night cravings because it's a special time. It's a special time. And I just wish you the very best, Carly. Congratulations. You're our extraordinary mom of the month. Yay.
That's awesome.
Have a great day.
You too.
Is Carly amazing or what? It was so much fun getting to know her and hearing her story. And I know there's people out there listening right this second who are in the middle of their own battle with infertility or their own just personal challenge. And I hope that this message from her, this journey of hope and positivity, can encourage you to find joy today. Don't miss out on the memories and the moments that are happening right around you right now, even if you're in the midst of the depths of despair, even if you've suffered a loss lately, even if you're waiting for something and the outcome may or may not come like you hoped. Don't miss the moments right around you that are to be had and are to be enjoyed and to be grateful for. Carly's such a great example of that. So thanks, Carly, for sharing your story. I love bringing you these extraordinary moms every week. So thanks for nominating Stephanie and thanks everybody else who nominated as well. I'm so excited for next month's interviews on Tuesday and next Friday. I'm going to do an episode on making mom friends. And like I said, I'm new to this area. I don't have any friends yet, or I didn't when I moved here, but I have worked really hard this past month trying to make friends, and I have some tips about how you can make some mom friends and some ideas about reaching out to people in order to feel a sense of connection with other moms. So I hope that's helpful for you. I hope everyone has an awesome week. Thanks for tuning in to the Extraordinary Moms podcast. If you love what you hear, I would love it if you would share the podcast with a friend. It means so much to me. As always, you can follow me on Instagram at JessicaDahlquist3, on Facebook at Extraordinary Moms Podcast, or on our website. Is that what I'm doing? Yeah, website, ExtraordinaryMomsPodcast.com. Love you guys so much. Thanks for listening every week. You're amazing. And all of you are truly extraordinary moms as well. Have an awesome week, and I'll see you next week for another episode with another extraordinary mom. Bye.